You.
Great. How are you?
Good to see you.
You too.
So, happy post 4th of July.
Yes. You have a nice weekend.
We did. Yeah, I've been blessed to have my daughter and my granddaughter and her husband here for 3 weeks in Florida. So.
Wow. Nice.
I know. Everybody's sad about COVID-19, but there are some good things.
That's for sure. Yeah. How's your weather? Was it a good weekend?
It's been beautiful. Yeah, it's been really beautiful. It's a little, you know, it's warm. It's Florida, but we had a fabulous lightning storm last night, you know, and then night before with a couple nights of full moon and just, yeah, it's been magical. So
very nice.
Yeah. So we're very, very lucky. Very lucky.
Good.
So I've been doing schoolwork this morning. She's six. She's a rising first grader and very, very smart and loves to play the teacher. So I'm the student and she teaches me whatever she needs to learn. So
I love it.
It works better that way.
Yes.
They're much more interested in being the teacher than the student, which is
good. Yeah, they don't want to listen.
No, it's much easier to teach me than to have me teach her.
Yep.
So we have fun and draw, and it's watching them work is just fascinating.
Good.
So I'm very lucky. Anyway.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey.
Hey, Bobby. How are you?
Good, and you?
Good, good, good. So what's on your mind this lovely day?
A couple notes I wrote down. Making sure I'm reviewing the Supernova checklist. We schedule monthly meetings. I did with Jean and Teresa. I think that's important. But I also think, Bobby, you and I should have monthly meetings. Just to check in.
Oh, I was just going to say separate from the ones we have.
Yeah, the ones we have are more, I think, to talk about the clients, what's going on, right?
Yep.
I think we should have check-in meetings on the team. How's it going? You know, what's working, what isn't? What are the goals?
Okay.
Because I have monthly meetings with Lewis now, and that's what I'm doing with him.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yay. You are about the only human being on the earth doing that.
Really?
Yeah, you think, you know, as long as I've taught Supernova, that the managers would go, oh, that's a really good idea. I think I'll have monthly meetings with my FAs because they're my clients.
Well, it was our conversation you and I had alone. Remember that? That
yep.
You really should be meeting with Lewis monthly. And then another wholesaler that I talked to that I respect, and she's, you know, she said the same exact thing to me the same day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Serendipity.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So
good.
Right away, Dan and set him up and yeah.
And I think you'll, you know, you don't know. It's just like your clients. You don't know what's going to come out of that. But yep. When you think of it, of all the center of influence people that you have, I mean, Lewis is as important as anybody, right?
That's right. And so, I think it holds me accountable to my goals and what am I doing? Am I on track? Who's holding me accountable?
Right.
I need that.
And so you, just like a personal trainer, you hire your own manager to hold you accountable.
Yep.
Right? So, yep. And it doesn't cost you a dime.
Mm-mm.
Right. Think about it, right? Other people waste their money. Here's the way I always looked at being the manager. Each person pays me $50,000 to be the manager, right? Or whatever it is. Maybe it's $10,000, right? Add them all up. That's my salary and bonus. And so are you getting $30,000 worth of value from me every year, right?
Yeah.
So take the salary, divide it by the number of constituents, and that's what that manager owes you. Terms of time and energy. Think about it, right? Kind of interesting. That's the way the other way I looked at it was every year I have to run for election.
Not as a manager, you're saying.
As a manager, not as a popularity contest.
Right.
But as the one guy that they have the most respect for that can run the office better than anybody else.
Yeah. And so, Lewis has good ideas.
Yeah. You
know, we're not
of course
in the
she
office.
Does.
Yeah. We're not in the office. It's tough, you know, not running into him or him not stopping by. So I think it made sense.
Of course it does. Wonderful. Congratulations. Like I said, you and one other person maybe in the country are doing that. Yeah. So what do we do to be better than everybody else? Do things that other people aren't willing to do. Like meeting with Bobby monthly about Bobby.
Right.
Okay, so Bobby, this is about you, this monthly meeting. It's not about the office and about da 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 da. It's about you. What are your goals? What are you trying to do? What are your personal and professional goals? And how are you doing versus what you think you should be doing in achieving those goals? And of course the office is going to come in, your team and your efforts jointly. But this is your time. This is your personal development time. So if you have some issues and you want to talk about them, that's the time you talk about them. And what Sue and I found, now Sue, we don't have to do this all the time, but every once in a while, we should make it a private call.
I agree. That was very helpful.
Right. And that sort of launched us forward to where we are now, which is like in a completely different place.
Yeah.
I think. Right. I feel it. Right?
Yep.
So anytime you want, you can just say, hey, I elect a private call.
Okay.
Just to, you know, so that's you. Oh, that's yours. That's in your
court. Go through Lori or Cindy?
Yep.
Lori?
Yep. Just send her an email and say private call.
Okay.
Okay. Anytime. Good. It's your
All
money.
Right.
You know, it's your time. It's your, just like Bobby, it's your time. You know, everybody needs their own personal time to go through their issues and what they're thinking. And so it makes all the sense in the world. And if you said to me, you know what, I want to devote time to Bobby, you know, he's going to have a private call with you. I'm on vacation. I want him to have that private time with you, or I want the whole team to meet without me. And,
yeah.
You know,
okay.
So complete flexibility in these nine sessions that we have to make them work for you and your team.
Good. Thanks.
Yeah, sure.
So the
other thing is just, and this is just another thing that we do, is that you can say, you know, I want to work on case study work. You know, this is, I've got these three cases that I've got going on, and I think I'm going to do well with them. I think I'm going to close them, but I need your advice. So happy to do that too.
Okay.
And that's also something to do with Lewis.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes it's not even a matter that you need advice. You just need to talk through it.
Yes. That's one of the things I miss about being in the office. Bobby and I were talking about that. Just bouncing things off people,
mm-hmm.
our thoughts, our ideas.
Right. Just, you know, hey, I'm thinking about doing this month. What do you think? Da, 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 da. So, yeah, it's very healthy. So this kind of a call is important normally, critical, I think, to everybody should have a coach. But when you're isolated, even more important. Because you just, you know, even if you have team meetings, you still don't have somebody challenging you and holding you accountable and whatever, right?
Right.
So I think it's even more important. And that's why that meeting with your manager, like he's not going to drop in on you. I mean, it just doesn't happen when we have drama. So, you know, you're just not going to talk. You could go for 6 months without having anything but an office meeting. You know, he might have Zoom meetings with the whole office or something, but you could maybe not talk to him for 6 months. It'd be like, what? How did that 6 months go by? Well, it's just amazing.
What was that?
The only other thing that I'd say is I think the stock market is telling us something very important, and that is we're going to be back to normal, not even in 6 months, but the stock market is saying we're going to be back to normal how are you going to do when we're back to normal? You know, the world is going to have changed, but quote, we'll be back to normal. We'll have a good, solid economy. And are you, Mr. and Mrs. Employer, worker, ready for that? You know, so that's an interesting thing, right? When you think about it, what if we're ahead economically of where we were? And is everybody prepared for that? Or are they assuming we're going to go into a recession and they're just hunkering down? Did you gain market share while everybody else was asleep? Or are you gain, you know, what did you do during the coronavirus? I took a vacation. Okay. Well, we're back to game on, and are we prepared? And I think you all have made leaps and strides while coronavirus is going on, whereas some teams, literally teams I'm coaching, have said, I can't do anything during coronavirus. I'm not going to do any coaching. I'm just hunkering down. That's just like the worst thing you could do, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, so I just throw that out there. I think the market is being amazed. It's fooling everybody. It's shocking everybody. And it's just so strong. It's just amazing. Anyway, I throw that out.
Yeah, I think it's, don't you agree, Bobby, that the calls we've been making to say, hey, we're going to contact you more often, you know? And I think with what's going on in the markets and the coronavirus, that I think it was good timing to let our clients know that we're going to reach out more often.
Yeah, I'd say 9 out of 10 people like that, just for, okay, yeah, everything's moving really fast. It'd be good, even if it's just to say hi. So yeah, they've been really receptive.
Yeah. It's good timing. Not as if we planned it.
Right. Serendipity. Yeah. Right. You show up. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. That's what we believe. Okay. So anything else, Sue, on your mind, or Bobby?
I know Bobby always prepares a checklist for this.
Okay.
Yeah, I know Teresa was still working on the 24-month calendar and topics, and setting
she's
that
off
up
this week, but it's pretty much finished.
Yeah. I'm going through, I know you said a lot of your clients, that you're working on already have a financial plan, so I'm going to be going through the ones that we're going to be working on.
Yeah.
And just seeing who has a financial plan, who doesn't. We have to get added to that. And then I guess this was our last Chapter 12 video. So it was more just seeing if anyone has any questions on some of the topics that we went over, like game board, building business plan, gap analysis, VIPSA, kind of all of those things that we've gone through in previous calls.
Right.
Which will we get more into, I guess, Rob, building a business plan and kind of like for Sue's instance, she's worried about right now getting her current clients scheduled, but I'm sure there's going to be time for growth at some point. So is that coming, I guess, at a later date?
It's kind of, Bobby, it's really your appetite for it, okay? Like Sue is like, I think we need to work on client contact and making sure customer service is up to speed.
Yep.
And I think that in the back of your mind is, yeah, okay, once I've got that, now I need some skill training in order to grow, and that will build my confidence. So I'm going to be better at this game, right? And while I have Rob, I want to learn that stuff. So that's kind of between you two to say, Rob, teach us, how do you network? You know, how do you create a mastermind group? How do you create a center of influence inside a niche? How do you get more involved in the community? How do you build your brand? And again, those are, and you know, how to use VPSA. And I'm here for any of that. Okay. So you can say, you know, Rob, I really want to learn this and I'll teach it to you. But remember, get the book, the audio book on the multiplier, the supernova multiplier, and listen to that, because that can be as valuable as anything I teach you, because that's all in there with good examples, etc. And then you can say to me, Rob, I listened to this and I didn't understand, why do you do this? Okay. Which can make it more interesting for me rather than me just teaching you from beginning to end and having very little interaction with you, Bobby. I'd rather say, you know, we're going to work on this for the next week. I'm going to listen to this chapter every day for a week. And then next week, we're going to talk about VPSA. Okay. And then I can, and you can practice it and use it. And then I can, like, you know, I mean, I can role play with you. I can teach it to you, but I can't teach you seven things at once.
Right.
I got to kind of break it into little pieces, and then you have to break it into little pieces in order to learn it. And so none of that would obviously ever hurt you. It's just a question of priorities, and which I understand.
Which I think, our priorities have been on current clients right now, which I totally agree with Sue, and we've talked about that in client service and everything. We've just had, I feel like during these phone calls and in the chapters, we've had little snippets about these other, the game board, some of this other stuff that you want us to implement at some point. So I was just curious, at what point do we start, I guess, learning more, going more in depth?
Sue, how do you want me to run it?
I'm curious if maybe we involve Lewis in some way, you know, where we're having a meeting with Lewis to discuss that as well, and he can help implement it and guide us. I don't know. But Bobby, I have no problem with you. I think that's a critical, important part of you growing. So I don't know the answer to that.
Right.
But Lewis just came up in my mind when you were talking about it.
Well, Lewis is going to have a lot of real life experience with growing a practice, not only his own, but obviously all the other people in the community. He gets I always thought of myself as a manager as kind of like a bee that goes around from flower to flower. And so what I see is what's working among all the different teams. And then I can share that, obviously, with you guys. So for example, I think I may have shared this. People always ask me, what's working during coronavirus? And I'll say, the simplest thing in the world, most things are not working as well, right? Because you can't go see somebody for breakfast or lunch or dinner if it's a prospect. But on the other hand, Zoom calls among groups of people are the easiest thing that we've ever done. Instead of working schedules out and having to take 3 hours for a meeting, we can in 40 minutes have a mastermind group meeting of really important people that all can get on for 40 minutes. And so that is working better than ever. People are more interested now than they've ever been in estate planning, for example. And I've said to you guys that I think having a series of webinars on topics where you really want to go in depth some more, you know, where you think, well, this, I can go in depth with this one client on family foundations, but you know, not everybody's going to be interested in it. But if you put it out there to everybody, you'd be surprised how many people would want to tune into that and listen to what you have to say around estate planning. And here's the thing, regardless of of which party takes the helm in November, the probabilities that taxes are going to increase, maybe not immediately because of the recession, but pretty soon, you know, they're going to start adjusting things, especially among the wealthy, which seem to be the most unpopular people. The more successful you are in life, the more unpopular you become, according to politicians. Even though among individuals, I don't think that's true. So estate planning, you know, if you ask the average person, when do taxes start kicking in on estates? I asked my son-in-law, I said, and my daughter, who should know, right? These are business people. I said, where do you think estate taxes kick in? They went, oh, 3 million, you know, 5 million. I said, no, almost 23 million. Wow, how'd we get there? I said, it took a long time, a lot of work, right? We went from 1 million to 5 million to multi-millions. How much would it take to go back in one writing of a pen to go back to 5 million, right? And then all of a sudden, panic among my generation who are getting older, right? So, and that would be, frankly, for you guys, that would be fabulous. Because it would mean that you have to do all this planning for them and sell second to life insurance policies and do trusts and, you know, complicated planning where, you know, you don't have too many clients that net out after taxes, you know, 23 million, right?
Right.
So anyway.
But I think, Bobby, back to you. Maybe what we do is on the monthly meetings, we talk about, you know, what are your goals? What do you need? Like Rob mentioned, maybe getting that Supernova Multiplier book, maybe that being one of your goals. Talking about the mastermind group. Mm-hmm. What kind of training are you going to do? Right? Setting some goals that way. And that's where I think Lewis can help too.
Right.
But if you guys said to me, okay, Rob, we want to cover one of those subjects each month, right? So next month we're going to cover whatever, you know. The easiest one, the one, where do you get your clients from? I always ask this question. It always is the same, from our clients. Mm-hmm. Well, it's always the 80-20 rule. You don't realize it, but 20% of your clients give you 80% of your introductions, your referrals. So who are they? We identify who they are, and then we spend more time with them, and then they give us more introductions. Seems simple. Those are called centers of influence. They are people that like you, trust you, and want to help you, and they want to give you more introductions. So that's the first place you start. Who are they? What are we doing for them, and what more could we do for them to make them happier and give us more referrals? The second place is clients that are in the center of a niche. Okay? So I just had a team that was telling me, you know, we had a flurry of people that were retiring from Kraft Foods in Illinois, which is the biggest plant outside of Paris. And they all, anyway, there was a center of influence that liked this team and referred a lot of their friends from Kraft to them. Like in Indianapolis, we have centers of influence inside the chemistry department there that refers their doctors to us. And so what did we do? We made them centers of influence and then found out what they liked. We spent more time with them. We sent them a few small gifts, a little recognition here and there, and so forth. And they sent us more people. So that's raising what we call, we're unconsciously competent. And what we want to do is become consciously competent so we can do more of what we do well. So those would be the first two things that I would have you do some homework on. Who are your centers of influence that send you the business now? And then are there niches where you have a center of influence inside the niche, and how have you developed that so you get more business from them? Those are the two ways we get the most business, and they both start with our existing book. So Sue, when you say we want to develop our book, that's a great way to do it. Not only do you do 12-4-2 of those centers of influence, but you basically do 24. You treat them as if they didn't have an account with you, and you call and spend time with them. We like it if you can actually meet with them, but with Corona, you can't. So you got to do Zoom or whatever.
Yeah. So I think right now it's Bobby getting to know those clients and who, you know, they're going to have to create some sort of trust that they have in him to refer anyone. That's going to be a learning experience, I think. Who are you meshing with? Who likes you? Who does what you tell them to do? Who is responsive to you?
Right. And who's in a position? I mean, a center of influence among, and you know, school teachers is one thing, right? That might be great if they all have $1 million rollovers, but most of them, maybe they do. But we would like people that have got $2 million rollovers and $3 million rollovers, right? So center of influence inside the right niche is critical. So it's a combination of things. Somebody that meets your minimum, that and their niche meets your minimum.
Right. What do they do? Who do they know? That's where I mentioned, Greg Roberts could be a center of influence, being, I'm not sure if he's a CPA or just an accountant, but he's young.
Right. Yeah, I guess I was looking at it more of, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, but these calls are going to be going towards monthly, right, with you?
Yep.
So maybe it's, you know, in our meeting, Sue and the team, we're just discussing, hey, here's where we're at. Here's what we're trying to focus on, whether it's COIs or doing this. And then we come back to Rob and we say, hey, we're trying to focus on COIs for this monthly call here. Like, what do you recommend, I guess, going forward?
Like have a monthly discussion topic?
Yeah, almost like that. I mean, we've talked about other things like, for me, it's prospecting and client servicing clients right now, but there's also Rob's talked to us about setting up a game board, building a business plan, doing centers of influence. So I'm sure those are topics that will probably come up in these monthly calls with him at some point, just depending on where we're at and what we want to, I guess, talk about.
Why don't we make that our next topic? And I don't think the rest of the team needs to even be on the call. I think it could be you and I and Rob and maybe Lewis. If Lewis is available. What do you think, Rob?
I think the more specific you can make it, the better. Meaning, okay, so our next topic is going to be center of influence. I'd like to make it not just centers of influence, but centers of influence inside niches. So we're going to discuss niches and then those center of influence inside each niche who have brought business to us. Okay. So that means you do homework. You figure out where. One of the things to do is go through all your accounts, top 30 accounts, say, and say, where did the client come from? Who sent them to me? How did I get them? And do they have something in common? They could all come from church. They could all come from, something that was completely unrelated.
Yeah, a lot of the clients actually came from buying out books. So it's a huge mix.
Yeah, so that means we need to do homework. And it could be, hey, we don't really have a lot of them, but we have four clients from General Motors, right? We have four clients from XYZ company. We have four clients that all belong to the same country club. So we need to know what, you know, there are four surgeons from the same hospital. Wow. Okay. You may not have penetrated that niche, but somebody did along the way. And so that's what we need to know. I need to do, we call this forensic marketing. So you dig into your book like you would a forensic accounting to see how did we get what we got? Oh yeah, we bought the book. All right. Where did the predecessor get his business? He did business with nothing but doctors, all from this particular zip code area, or, you know, all from the same hospital or all the same group. But if I don't have that information, I can't help it. We're just talking in generalities, which never gets us anywhere.
All right. We'll talk it over, Bobby. We'll come up with a game plan.
Okay. So between now and the next call, go through your clients and tell me where they came from and who's an influencer and is it a niche and can it be developed? You don't have to figure out how it can be developed. You just have to figure out that it's a niche, and then I can help you with how to develop it. Okay. I mean, you can too, if you want to, but
I think my honest struggle here, Rob, is I have my clients I'm focusing on. I don't want to waste my time focusing on those clients anymore, but I'm doing that. Now it's like, okay, I need to go back and focus on that for Bobby. That's tough for me because I'm trying to lead in this direction. Now all of a sudden I got to go back to that direction. I don't know that I want to go there.
Like Bobby do it. Let Bobby do it. You don't have to do it.
Okay.
And it might just be a longer process for me trying to get to know these clients and then find out, oh, you worked at GM and you're just putting it together.
It should be in there. You should have notes on that. I mean, if you don't know where they work, we got an issue.
Right.
Right. I mean, come on. We know a lot. We should know. We did a financial plan or somebody did a financial plan. You know everything about them. But if we didn't and we don't, then good. Great. Then we got homework to do. Right. And that's really important because that's a big red light. That's a big yellow red light. We don't know our clients. We need to get to know them. These calls have got to be really deep conversations where we find out everything about the client. Okay. So think about that. If you don't know this stuff, you better learn it because those guys are going to be vulnerable if you don't know this stuff.
Right.
Right.
So I guess going forward, Rob, will we not receive emails from Cindy anymore with like a outline? It's all going to be what Sue and I want to talk about.
Correct.
Okay.
It's going to be all the stuff that you didn't get. I mean, if you want it, you know, we're not in a position right now to build a business plan.
Right.
Okay. I don't feel like we're taking baby steps when it comes to marketing. I mean, you can build a business plan about financial planning, about brand management, about implementation. But when it comes to marketing, we gotta start kind of at zero here. And that's when you think about a business plan, it's 90% marketing. Okay. I mean, yes. Do we want to do more business? Yes. Do we want to have a 24-month calendar so we do more business? Yes. But I can't build you a 24-month marketing calendar yet. You're not ready.
Okay. Yeah, I think getting to know the clients is your number one priority. And the more you learn from them, the more you're going to know what they need and how you can help them and who else they might know to for you to help.
Right. Then we build the pipeline. Mm-hmm. Then we track the pipeline. Then we start to develop business from it. And then we use those people to develop more business. So it's...
Just as an aside, you know, when we set up our first contact and I introduce you, one of your just thoughts or something you might say to them is, you know, my goal is to learn more about you. And that might even be your first call. What should I know about you? Maybe have some key questions and look at the notes and say, oh, you know, I noticed here you work at so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. So it's not going to be about their portfolio. I don't think it's going to be personal.
Correct.
So when I introduced, I wouldn't say, you know, to call you and see if we need to make any changes to your portfolio. They're going to be on red alert right away. Like, who are you? And you're going to make changes to my portfolio. It's going to be, I'm going to get to know you. Okay. Right. That would be my recommendation.
Yep.
Okay. So that's our plan. We should report back through the 5-star model though, just to get used to doing that.
Okay.
And then we, you know, so director of planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. And frankly, that's your business plan. Okay. Where are we now? Where are we going? How are we going to get there in each of those areas? That's a business plan. If I ask you to write out a formal business plan, that's what I'd tell you to do. Planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. Write a one pager on where you're going to go and how you're going to get there and where you're going to be by the end of the year. And that would be it. That's your business plan. You don't need more than that. So if you want to do that, God bless you. Go do it. But you need a lot of skill training when it comes to marketing.
Yeah.
So that's where we'll spend most of the time.
Okay.
Good. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Talk to you in a month. Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.